Mark chapter 8, and we're going to start reading in verse 22. We are going to finish our series tonight that we've been calling Unstoppable, coming down to the end, and we've seen over the weeks that we have an unstoppable God, and that means big things for us in our life. There's a lot of comfort and hope that comes because of that, and so as we bring this series to a close, I want to look at this interesting miracle in Mark chapter 8 in verse 22, where it says, He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his own house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We pray that you bless now your word as we spend time studying it tonight. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This has always been one of those confusing miracles to me. Because you read through this miracle and you see Jesus Christ. He puts his hands on him, and then he asks the man if he sees anything, and he sees men as trees walking, so his eyesight's not very clear. And then Jesus has to repeat that again in verse 25, and you go, what did I just read? What just happened there? I'm used to me getting started and going halfway through through projects and going, oh, I need to keep going, or I need to redo this, you know, or I'm used to myself not getting things right the first time. I mean, that's something we expect of us, right? I'm not the only one who sometimes we struggle to get things right the first time. We go, okay, time to do it again. Let's try this again. Maybe I'll YouTube it this time or read the instructions or whatever, and I'll see if I can do better the second time. But that's not something we expect of Jesus Christ. And all the other miracles, we see them, and he just does it, and it's perfect. And then we read this one and go, what happened? Like, what is going on in this miracle that he didn't get it right the first time? He asked the guy if he sees, and the guy says, I see men as trees walking, or I see, like, figures, and I know they're men because I can tell that they're walking. I know they're not trees because trees do not walk. But basically, he was saying, I can kind of see. It's better than it was. But we go, did Jesus not get this right the first time? Like, what are we reading? Why did he have to repeat it? Why did he have to fix it, it seems like, the second time, and then why doesn't Scripture explain this? It just moves right on. Why doesn't Scripture give us any, like, explanation of the reasoning behind this? And I'm here to tell you, I don't have all the answers for you tonight. Scripture doesn't give them all, but there are some things we know. We know Jesus doesn't make mistakes. We know he's perfect. So we look at this and go, this was very much intentional on the part of Jesus Christ. He did it this way on purpose. And basically, we come down to the end and go, well, it was just like apparently a multi-step miracle. And that's what it was. He chose to perform this miracle in two steps, to have the first step where he did it the first time and the guy would not see fully. But then when he would repeat it, then the guy would see perfectly. And that's really where we have to land on this, saying he did this for a reason. He did this on purpose. And there's a lot in here for us, even as we see this sort of unique miracle that I think can be very encouraging and comforting for us. Because we come down to the end, verse 25, he was restored and saw every man clearly. Jesus Christ finished it. What he started, he finished. And yes, in the middle, it didn't look like what we're used to seeing in the miracles in the Bible, yet he completed it. And you know, for us, our life is really like a multi-step miracle, isn't it? And sometimes we find ourselves right in the middle of the process where everything isn't clear yet how it's going to end and all the ways that Jesus Christ is working. And sometimes in the middle of a miracle that our life is, as Jesus Christ is working with us and we're in the middle of this whole process, that can be a very discouraging time to be right there in the middle and going, okay, why isn't it where I think it should be at this point? You know, some of the longest surgeries that to recover from, and when I looked this up, the first one was total knee replacement. Has anybody had that, a total knee replacement? They say it takes like months to recover from that. The other is like a spinal fusion, which I don't know anything about that, but it sounds like it would take a long time to recover. But there's some surgeries you go through, and it's just a long time to recover, to get back to where you were, or where you should be. And I bet in those times, in those months of recovery, there are days where you go, is everything going okay? Like, is this where I'm supposed to be? Is my knee supposed to feel this way 2 weeks into recovery? Did the surgeon mess up, right? Did he make a mistake that means I'm not recovering like I should be? Do I have to go back and see him again? Maybe they need to fix something else. And all these questions start to arise in the middle of that process. And that's what we see in this miracle, this multi-step miracle where Jesus Christ did it once, and then he did it again to get to the end, to get to the finished product. And so tonight I want us to see several things that we can learn from this, I think, that are very comforting and encouraging for us as we go through this process, this multi-step miracle that is our life. And what I want us to see tonight is this unstoppable progress. For this last message, an unstoppable progress that we see Jesus Christ doing in our life. So number one, this miracle shows Jesus' commitment to perfection. His commitment to perfection. You know, at the midway of this miracle, in verse 24, the man's sight was better than it was. He was a blind man, and now he at least could see something, right? He's at least seeing figures and shapes. You know, they're not clear, but, you know, it's better than it was. But Jesus Christ wasn't content to stop there, to say, well, it's good enough. It's better than it was. You know, in every project that we do, there's when we start it and then we begin, there's always a time where we have to decide that we are done. And there's like a whole continuum of times we could stop, right? We could get started, then we could finish. We could decide to stop when it's still undone. We could get to the point where we're like, good enough, you know, adequate, fine, right? Good enough. We can find all these places to stop. Maybe we can get to the end where it's like amazing, right? Or award-winning. Right? We can go, keep going in that direction. But all along that way, we just kind of choose where we're going to end it, right? Like, it's done. As good as I can do, that's sometimes where we stop. And, you know, we run out of time. Like, we just don't have any more time to spend on this. We've already spent too much time on this. We've got other things we've got to move on to. So we call it right there, good enough. You know, good enough. Nobody's going to notice, right? It's fine. Or maybe we've just come to the end of our ability. We go, I don't know how to make it any better. It's not perfect, but it's as good as I can do. So we call it right there. And there's all these spots along the way, right, to perfection where we go, this is where it ends. This is where this project is done for me. And, you know, we see that sort of in this miracle where Jesus starts the miracle, and then there's the point in the middle where it's better than it was, and it's good, but it's not finished. And I'm glad that we have the rest of that miracle, that Jesus Christ doesn't stop at good enough and say, well, we'll call it here. And, you know, we look at our life and we get to points in our life where we say, well, that's pretty good, you know, better than it used to be. There's improvement there. And yet Jesus Christ is committed to perfection in our life. And Jesus Christ has a particular end result that he is committed to achieving in our life. And I want us to see this. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. The goal is nothing short of the image of Jesus Christ in us and through us. It's nothing short of perfection. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We are not there yet. We're in the middle. We're working toward there, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's the end, right? That's the destination. That's the goal, that we would be in the image of Jesus Christ. And there's this transformation that's going to take place, but Jesus Christ is committed to getting us to the end. There will never be a point where Jesus Christ says, good enough, when he looks at us, or that's better than they used to be. It's always going to be that we will come down to that end. When we stand before Jesus Christ and he looks at us and say, now you are perfect. It's finished. The work that I have begun, I have finished in your life. The journey of every believer, no matter when they started or how things have gone in this life, the journey of every believer ends same place, same location. That's when we are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is committed to perfectly finishing what he has started in us. So this miracle shows Jesus Christ's commitment to perfection. Number two, this miracle also shows Jesus' commitment to a process. His commitment to a process. So he starts, if we go back to Mark chapter 8, in this miracle, they bring this man to him and they were wanting Jesus Christ to touch him, to put his hands on him and heal him, as he had done before to many others. So in verse 23, Jesus Christ, when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. So Jesus Christ begins this process, and he puts his hands on him and asks him if he sees anything. And when he sees somewhat, verse 25, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. So Jesus Christ does it once, and then he has to do it again. And boy, isn't that the story of our life, where Jesus Christ works with us, and then he works with us again. And let's be honest, again and again and again. And so many times where Jesus Christ just has to continue many times doing the same things over and over in our life. But he's committed to this process, to the process of working with us and being patient with us, dealing with us, changing us, and doing those things. And in this multi-step miracle that is our life, it involves repetition on the part of Jesus Christ. Because we're stubborn and because of our pride and our resistance, and yet he has to repeat himself over and over again, but he's willing to do that. He is willing to repeat himself with us. We see that how many times he's willing to repeatedly forgive us, don't we? And I want to see this if we go back to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18. The story leading into this is that Israel has come out of Egypt, and they're on their way to the Promised Land. And this is the first time they've come through, and now they've heard about the Promised Land, and they're not that excited about it, and they want to go back, right? And so they turn against God, and they turn against Moses and say, we're not going to the Promised Land, we're going to turn to Egypt. So in verse 18, Moses is talking to the Lord, and this is what he says. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18, he says, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And look what he says next. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. You know, Moses, as he prays for this people and intercedes between God's wrath and the people's sin, he comes before the Lord, and just in honesty, he goes, Lord, I know you've done this before. He goes, I know this isn't the first time I've come to you and had to ask for mercy, or that Israel has sinned and you've had to forgive them. And he says, really, it's been from Egypt until now. And look what the Lord says, verse 20. The Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Jesus Christ forgave them again. And you know what? Jesus knew that they would sin again. God knew that this was going to not be the last time they came to him asking for forgiveness, and that he would forgive them again and again. And Jesus Christ is willing to repeatedly forgive us. And this is who we are, isn't it? Where we say, you know what? Lord, I'm coming to you again for forgiveness. And I know I've come to you and asked forgiveness for the same thing before. And multiple times in my past, I've had to come and ask for forgiveness. But Lord, I'm here again, asking for forgiveness another time. And the Lord says, I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And in this process of him changing us, he repeatedly forgives us. And he's willing because he's committed to this process. And that process involves us coming to God and asking for forgiveness and him saying, okay, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you again. Knowing many times that he's going to have to forgive us again for the same thing next week or even tomorrow. But he's committed to that, to repeatedly forgiving us. He's also willing to repeatedly teach us. You know, when I make something that comes from a box, like food, like brownies, I haven't done this in a while, but mac and cheese or whatever, you know, they got the instructions on the box. I have to go by those. But you know how many times I have to go back and look at those instructions? It's like every step and sometimes in between steps. Like I go, okay, I need like a cup of milk or whatever. And I go and get the measuring cup and I go, how much was it? Oh yeah, a cup. A cup of what? Oh yeah, milk or whatever, you know? And we just go back to the instructions multiple times and have to reread those. I don't know. You know, it's just how we have to do things. And we're like that with the Word of God, where God teaches us something. And we're like, okay, got it. And then we go, wait, what was it again? Like what was it? And we get in the middle of our life with everything else going on and it's like we have to relearn these things. And Jesus Christ is there by his Holy Spirit saying, okay, let's go over this again. Sit down, open your Bible, let's learn this again. And he's committed to this process of repeatedly teaching us sometimes the same things over and over and over in our life. Teaching us, correcting us, instructing us, reproving us, all of these things over and over throughout our life. And he is so patient with us to just continually working with us. And you can imagine, we get frustrated, don't we? Having to repeat ourselves to people and saying, I just told you this. Like, why don't you remember this? I just went over this. And yet, the Lord is very patient with us. He's committed to this process. And he says, okay, let's go over this again. Let me repeat myself to you. Let's read this verse again, and I'll teach you what it means again. And he's willing to continually do that. You know, he's also willing to repeatedly help us when we need help. And to just constantly be there in his strength. And there's many times where we're very quick to say, I can do this. I'll do this by myself. Lord, you helped me last time. I've got it this time. And off we go. And then we come back to the Lord. And he says, okay, I'll help you again. You know, Samson. We like the story of Samson and the strength that Samson had and how he was able to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And yet he got very confident in his own strength. And then it's gone. And he's in bondage and he's enslaved. And then he comes to the Lord and he says, Lord, will you give me my strength back one more time? And the Lord says, okay, I will help you again. And in that final moment of Samson's life, God helps him. And he's able to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And we just see how the Lord worked in Samson's life. And when Samson tried to do it by himself and later had to go back to God and say, can you help me again? God just helped him one more time. And God is like that with us, just repeatedly giving us his strength. And through him, we're able to succeed. Through him, we're able to have victory over temptation and all that we need over and over, day by day, even after we've looked at him and said, I've got this. I don't need you anymore. And then when we fall and fail, we come back to him and he says, okay, I'll help you out again. I'm here. He's committed to this process of working with us. And there's so many times where it just has to happen over and over and over again. Many times it's because of us, because of our pride and our inability to trust him and our lack of willingness to trust him, I should say, where he's just willing to repeat it again and again with us. But he's committed to that because he's committed to the final product and he's committed to the process. But then we see also back in Mark chapter 8 and verse 22, this miracle also shows us our possibility. It shows us the possibility that we have because of Jesus Christ. So we come down to the end. This blind man, he's been brought to Jesus Christ for a miracle that he would be able to see. And we come down to the end and it happens. The end of verse 25, he was restored and saw every man clearly. This man's eyes were opened. But you know, there were also many other people probably that were around there whose eyes were open as well, open to the possibility of what God is able to do. Yes, this man then all of a sudden knew. He found out personally for himself what God can do. The power of God. The miracle working ability of Jesus Christ. And anyone else who stood around there and saw this miracle knew that. All of a sudden their eyes were open as well to what God was able to do. And there were probably people there who all of a sudden started putting like two and two together. You know, maybe they had heard of Jesus Christ and just happened to be there for this. But they started putting together the fact that Jesus Christ was all-powerful, and here they were with their problems. And they said, well, you know what, if we put those together, if we put together the power that God has, the power that I've seen in Jesus Christ, together with me and my weakness and my problems, what possibility is there? And we look at our lives and say, imagine the possibility of what God is able to do in our life. The possibilities of what God can do for us. You know, people love to use the phrase, anything is possible, right? And I looked up a bunch of quotes that people have said about this. And I'm not going to tell you who quoted them because it doesn't matter. I didn't know half of them and I didn't want to look it up and I didn't want to spend the time sharing that with you. So I'm just going to read these quotes, but they were not mine. Anyway, someone said, I think anything is possible if you have the mindset and the will and desire to do it and put the time in. Right? Just mindset, the right will and the desire to do it. You put the time in, anything's possible. Someone else said, when you're surrounded by people who share a passionate commitment around a common purpose, anything is possible. So that person's like, you just need people around you who are there to support you and anything's possible. Another person said, if you believe in yourself, anything is possible. And then there's one other quote that I really liked. This person said, and I have no idea the context of this, pizza makes me think that anything is possible. And I don't know if they saw like the assembly of a pizza and had some like epiphany about how parts come together and it makes something great, or if they just ate a piece and were like, I can do it. You're like, I can do anything. I eat pizza. I don't know. But man, people really want to believe that this is true, that for them, anything is possible if they just try hard enough or put enough time into it, or if they have enough people that are there to help them and support them, if they get the right crew, anything is possible, or pizza, you know, or whatever. But people really want to believe this, that in their life, anything is possible. And then as Christians, we sit here and we read the Word of God and say, okay, with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. With God, or with men, they're not. With men, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And we see the miracles of Scripture, and whether it's this miracle or any miracle, we look at it and go, imagine what God can do in my life. Imagine the possibilities that are there because I have a God that is unstoppable, because of His wisdom and His power and the fact that He wants to work in my life, that He is committed to me, that He is committed to this process in my life. And it opens our eyes to the possibility of what God is able to do and the ways God is able to change us. But we've got to reject this whole idea of like pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? The whole American dream that's centered on us if we just work hard enough. And that's one thing for the American dream and earning money. That's a whole other thing for the Christian life. Because the Christian life is not about us pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. It's about trust. Trusting Jesus Christ to do what we cannot do for His enabling and His power and all that He is to then be applied to our life. And we know it's possible for God to do when we get to heaven. I mean, we saw that. We're going to be transformed, but are we aware of the possibilities for today, for right now? The possibility for this week, that if you walked with God and you trusted God and you asked Him to help you and you relied upon Him, the possibilities of what God could do this week in your life and how you could next week be in church and be different than you were last week. Because God is unstoppable, and because He wants to work in your life, and you have allowed Him to do His work in your life. And I want us to go back to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to close with the verse that we started this series with. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Over this series, we've seen that God's unstoppable. We looked at his wisdom and His power, right? And we said about His power that He can make a way. And we talked about His wisdom and said that He can find a way. And just what God is able to do. And then we saw His unstoppable salvation, His unstoppable love, unstoppable access. We have unstoppable peace, unstoppable wisdom, and an unstoppable future. And over, we've just seen how God is working in our life. And right now, we're in the middle of that. We're not where we used to be. by God's grace, we've been saved if you trusted in Jesus Christ, and that means you're not where you used to be. We're headed in a different direction. But we're not where we're going to be yet either. We're stuck in the middle. I don't want to say stuck, but we're in the middle, right? We're in that the middle of this whole process, right in the middle of the miracle that God is working in us. And right at the beginning, we said we're going to challenge ourselves in two ways. Number one, we said we're going to challenge ourselves to not give up on what God is doing. Don't give up on what God is doing. He hasn't given up on you. That's been the theme. God has not stopped. God has not given up on you, so don't give up on Him. And I know sometimes it seems slow. It seems slow in our life, and sometimes it seems slow when we're praying about someone else in their life. And we're really praying that God would do a work, and we say, doesn't seem like anything's going on. I don't see anything happening. But we trust God. We trust that He hasn't given up on us, that He hasn't given up on the other people that we know are saved, and we say, God, we know that God is still working. So don't give up. And the second thing we challenged ourselves with was to not get in the way. Don't get in the way of what God is trying to do in your life. You know, it would really help, I think, if we stopped working against God and really worked with God. if we put aside our unbelief and our self-sufficiency and I said, I'm going to trust, I'm going to pray, I'm going to obey. I'm going to trust what God is able to do, that God is unstoppable, that all the things that stand before me in my life that I struggle with are nothing for the power and the wisdom of God. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God for His help. Every day seek Him and not have this attitude where I can go out and face the day, where I can go out and do all what needs to be done, but I'm going to take time every day and pray and all throughout that day talk with God and pray, and then I'm going to obey. I'm going to do what His word says. Trusting that God knows best, that God's way is best for me. I'm going to trust, I'm going to pray and obey. And I'm going to work with God to change my life. And so tonight, we're in the middle of the miracle. And I want us to be comforted, and I want us to be encouraged, and I want us to be challenged. Because Jesus has not stopped. He's still working. He's still working. And if we choose to, we can see Him. We can see that progress being made in our life. So understand how the unstoppability of God, that God is able, be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun that good work in you, He will perform it because He has promised. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for how great You are and Your power and Your wisdom. Lord, You are unstoppable. And Lord, we take comfort in that fact that You are still working in our life. And Lord, we pray You'd help us to work with You, not against You. And Lord, we look forward to that day when finally Your work in our life will be finished and we will stand before You in Your presence with Your image shining through us. And so Lord, we look forward to that day and we ask You to continue to work in our life now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.